WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Ceasefire over in Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says he ordered overnight airstrikes because talks were going nowhere. The BBC's Rushdie Abu Alouf.
In hospitals, doctors are saying that they have received more than 250 people injured. Some of them are in a very critical condition.
Hamas health officials claim more than 300 were killed. Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams finally on their way home after more than 9 months in space. CBS's Derek Waller.
Splashdown is scheduled to happen just off the Florida coast tonight around 6 p.m. Eastern.
President Trump and Vladimir Putin are expected to hold their phone conversation today on ending the war in Ukraine. CBS's Jennifer Jacobs reports.
On Trump's agenda, Ukrainian power plants, control of territory, the death toll of soldiers. Trump said many elements of a final agreement have been agreed to, but much remains.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The late Gene Hackman did not mention his three children in his will, but they might still end up with some of his $80 million worth of assets. Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, passed away in late February under mysterious circumstances. Late last week, it was disclosed that Arakawa passed away from the hantavirus a week before her Oscar-winning husband. Authorities say Hackman suffered from Alzheimer's disease and couldn't take care of himself after his wife died and, as a result, passed away a week later. In Betsy's will, it was stated that she left her estate to various charities. Hackman, however, named Betsy as the recipient of his assets, essentially leaving his three now middle-aged children out in the cold. Or so it would seem. As it turns out, due to Betsy's death, Hackman has no secondary beneficiaries, so it looks like his kids will be the recipient of their father's $80 million fortune after all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More troubles for the Brewers pitchers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Mariners 14-8 in spring training. Brewers starter Tobias Myers is out now with a strained oblique muscle and will likely miss the start of the season. But Pat Murphy says he thinks Abner Uribe could fill that spot. They are also very pleased with the progress Brandon Woodruff is showing coming back from shoulder surgery. NBA, the Bucks begin a five-game road trip out west tonight against the Golden State Warriors, but it will be without center Jericho Sims. He had to have surgery yesterday for a torn ligament in his right thumb. It happened Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims will be out at least a month. The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. Damian Lillard says it's tough to play team offense when opponents get physical.
It's a tough balance. In your mind, you're like, all right, I might have to dominate and try to take over this 4 or 5 minute stretch, and then you don't want to go against, you know, what the team is kind of preaching. So this is definitely a tough balance.
That's Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at LoveLost.com.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, turns out Republicans aren't the only ones who don't want to hear from their constituents. Run away, run away. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We are watching a storm system that will bring rain and a few thunderstorms tomorrow, and then rain will change to some snow tomorrow night into Thursday. There could be some minor accumulation and possibly some slick roads Thursday morning. Today, clouds in the morning, a little more sunshine in the afternoon with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
more farm-related programs being canceled. Those affect more than $1 billion in purchasing local food from farmers for food banks.
These types of programs, it gets high-quality food to people who need it at an affordable price. It's a win-win-win, and it's just a really good investment in these rural economies.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreidlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Up North News creator and editor Christina Laurie. Then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins the show to discuss the NCAA tournament. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Happy National Agriculture Day. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Tuesday, 18th day of March, and we're celebrating National Agriculture Day. If you want to jump ahead and find out more, you can go to agday.org. This day was begun back in 1973 as kind of a time to ask the general public to pause and pay attention to everything that they depend on. That's courtesy of production agriculture. There's going to be celebrations going on in a lot of different ways all across the United States. Talk a little bit more about that as the morning unfolds. Well, weather-wise, as our day unfolds, not a lot of sun, but it's going to be a little warmer today than it was yesterday, and the winds not nearly as noticeable. Cloudy skies today, 64 are expected high, with a little bit of a breeze out of the east up to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow is when things get interesting. All kinds of precipitation moving in, so rainfall reporters get ready. Could see anywhere from a half to three quarters of an inch of rain fall during the day, probably more in the afternoon. Daytime highs tomorrow around 57, and the winds return out of the east, gusting up to 30 miles an hour. Wednesday night into Thursday morning, the precipitation continues, maybe even a thunderstorm, depending on where you are. The rain is going to turn into snow and become all snow as we roll towards Thursday morning. So like I said, definitely something we're going to want to talk about with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in just a little bit. Maybe a little bit muddy yet, but a lot of folks are anxious to get their livestock out of the barn onto pasture, and that includes our horse owners. Stephanie Hoff got a chance to visit with a veterinarian that urges a little caution when it comes to that transition. We're going to hear from her. And John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, jumps in live this morning as well.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
In our world of agriculture, weather conditions rule our workday. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on Mother Nature. You can help by taking real-time weather observations and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Everyday people such as yourself play a vital role in protecting lives and property. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
In the Wisconsin beef industry, one name that has been known because they've been active for a long time, the Quam family in the Lodi area. And I'm Bob Bosel from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, visiting with Terry Quam now, who has been a leader in the Wisconsin Organization for Beef Industry, as well as nationally. And Terry, you've got a new position here that you've just taken on recently. Tell us what that is.
I just was recently elected as the Secretary Treasurer of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. And for those of you that don't know, the Cattlemen's Beef Board oversees the checkoff on the national side for the beef industry.
And that means you're not part of the Cattlemen's Association. They lobby, you can't lobby at all. You're in charge of just checkoff, trying to make the cattlemen more money.
Our goal is to build beef demand. We stay completely out of the political arena. Our goal is to take that dollar that you invest with us and to put it out on a national forefront. And whether we're doing research, we're doing promotion, we're doing producer communications, or whether we're doing export work, our goal is to build that demand, to get every dollar that we can for that pound of beef that you're producing, and make sure that beef is still the main protein source for all our consumers out there.
it's been successful. The checkoff has been ongoing for a long time, but recent studies show that the investment of that dollar has been a pretty good investment.
Yes, we just got done with a five-year study. Every 5 years, we do what's called the return on investment. This year, it was done by Cornell University. And for every dollar we invest in the beef world, we are getting $13.41 back. And to me, that's a testament to the hard work of the predecessors of the Cattlemen's Beef Board and the Board of Directors to focus on the programs that are going to make this beef world successful. And again, whether it's research, exports, product safety, taste, what have you, it is just a very good testament that your dollar is working for you. Anybody that could invest a dollar and get $13 and something back, I'd love to do it in private business.
As the Beef Board gets together, the Cattlemen's Beef Board gets together, and you take a look at how much money you have, what kind of discussions do you have as far as which way do we go? Do we go on research? Do we go on promotion? What kind of conversations do you have there, and how do you break those dollars down?
When it comes to that, we have about $40 million that we get to invest every year, and of course, first has to come out the operating budget for the staff. And one of the things that we're most proud of on the Cattlemen's Beef Board, we run a $40 million project. Our overhead to run that program comes out at 3.89%. We are less than 4% of the total dollars that you have is in staff and program development. The rest of the money goes directly into programs to build demand and focus on what the beef industry needs. And I can tell you, it's a cooperation between the Federation of State Beef Councils and the Cattlemen's Beef Board. 10 members from each come together as the operating committee every September, and we get the budget from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. We'll get $42, $43 million worth of requests, and we'll maybe have $34, $35 million to spend. So it gets quite heated because everybody gets into a territory and a zone and has their niche in the beef industry that they want to defend. So when you got to cut $8 million out of all programs, every program brought before us in an authorization request is tremendous. They're programs that benefit our industry. How do you make those cuts? And when you bring people from all over the United States together, from every background in the beef industry together, you have differences of opinions. But the great news is, at the end of a day and a half, we come up with a budget that will make and work for the beef industry and keep us as that protein of choice.
Terry Quam with us from Lodi, a longtime cattleman with his family in Wisconsin, also is now the Cattlemen's Beef Board Secretary Treasurer. And Terry, one of the things that the dairy industry prides itself on as far as the checkoff is partnering to make those dollars go further. Is that what you do with the Cattlemen's Beef Board, whether it be, I don't know, McDonald's or Wendy's or whoever it might be? Do you have partners that make your dollars go further?
Gosh, yes, that's a critical important, because as you know today, this program got started in 1984. The dollar back then was worth a dollar. Today it's only worth about 31 cents. When you got to cut $8 million out of your program areas, you look for anybody and everything that will contribute to help you make a program. But I got to remind everybody, when it comes to advertising and those types of things, all the checkoff does is promote beef. We don't promote any special brands. We don't promote any different breeds, anything like that. Every animal that goes to market is equal in our eyes. And so we look for programs that we can do with other commodity organizations or other corporations throughout the United States to promote beef that are brand neutral and do a great job of helping to keep us as that protein of choice. And just one example of how you can leverage your dollars, we give just over $8 million to the United States Meat Export Federation. Back in 1984, you only had about $2 million worth of beef exports. Today, we are talking in the billions of dollars of beef exports. And for every dollar that we give to the United States Meat Export Federation, they can get a matching dollar from USDA. So you think about that. You took $8 million, turned it into $16 million to help promote our product over in different areas of the world.
And one of the things over the years we've seen some organizations, well, like RCAF, we'll name them, they've challenged the beef checkoff. It's gone wanting, that effort. Do you expect more challenges to the checkoff coming forward, or what's happening?
In these prices of good times, everybody's in favor of everything right now because we are in really good price points on all segments of the industry. Every year, the Cattlemen's Beef Board contracts a company to do a survey of about 3,000 to 4,000 producers across the United States, and they're random producers. We don't know who they contact, anybody that has beef cattle or dairy cattle. And we're proud to say that we're at the highest percent of reception that we've ever been. We're way into the mid-70s on who thinks the checkoff is a favorable program. The other thing that's interesting to note, we added the question this year, would you be in favor of raising the beef checkoff? And we had 70% say yes, we would. You will always have your detractors. Everybody has to have a reason to be against something. But I think when you look at the overall program and you can manage a program at under 4% of your total revenue and you can build the demand, when you look at the prices in the supermarket and the fact that we've still got consumers paying that price and demanding our product, I don't see how you can say the beef checkoff hasn't done you a good job.
Has that response gotten the attention of the Cattlemen's Beef Board and the Cattlemen's Association of seriously discussing an increase to the checkoff, and if it has, in dollar increments, or what's the status?
Well, the Cattlemen's Beef Board can't do anything about that. That has to be done through the policy organizations. All we can do is state that if you give us more dollars, we'll make you more money. That's all we can tell you. Whether it be the Farm Bureau, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, U.S. Cattlemen, whoever, they're the ones that got to decide whether we need to go and get another dollar. I can tell you from being on the board of the Cattlemen's Beef Board for the last few years, we will make good investments of your dollar, but that's out of our control. The Cattlemen's Beef Board that I sit on, the one that oversees the checkoff, we have nothing to do with that. That's totally on the policy side.
But you wouldn't turn it down?
No, we would not turn it down. We'd spend it, and we would make you more money with it.
Terry, what's going on? Can you give us a little hint of what are some of the things you are working on as far as increasing the value through promotion, research, education? You know, are we going to see, where's the beef?
One of the greatest programs that we just started was we partnered with the U.S. Little League, or the Little League Championship this year. And we put beef in front of all those kids there at the championship level and regional level. And getting beef as a main part of their diet and promoting with those kids. And I think you're seeing a lot more emphasis all across in the state level on the Beef Council side and on the national level, the value of educating young, getting these youth eating beef early, getting it into their diets, explaining how that protein and the zinc and iron and it's in this product will do a tremendous job of building their bodies and core strength. So I think that's one of the things that we rolled out last year that was tremendous. We've also got what's called the Northeast Beef Initiative, where several of the state beef councils plus Cattlemen's Beef Board invests in the eastern seaboard, you might say, in the New York area out there.
Well, there's a lot of people.
You have a lot more people out there and very few cattle out there. So their dollars are limited. So we invest out in that area in the all realms of education, production, promotion, what have you, to get that big metropolitan area to make sure they know beef is a great product for them and to keep it in their eyes.
Terry Quam, newly elected Secretary Treasurer of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, proud of making beef producers' checkoff dollars go further, more money in producers' pockets. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Osold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action, And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher, they had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Hopefully your St. Patrick's headache has gone away. We'll be discussing top broadband officials exiting the U.S. Department of Commerce, what it means for broadband in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Your new choice. Real news, great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Tonight into Wednesday?
Yeah, really late tonight into Wednesday, Pam. That's when a little rain starts in most locations. And then tomorrow that becomes some snow. And the winter storm watch still in effect from 4 a.m. tomorrow to 10 p.m. tomorrow from southeast parts of Minnesota, even just southeast of the Twin Cities, up into western and north central Wisconsin, including like Whitehall, Eau Claire, Rice Lake, Wausau, all the way up to Park Falls and Hayward and all the way up through Tomahawk, not quite to Shawano, but up through Antigo, of course, off into the northeast. That's the area where heavier snow is going to be expected. A weak front's pushing to our southeast today, not bringing any precipitation really to talk about. Some very scattered and light snow in northwest Wisconsin, flurries, some activity out in west central Minnesota. The expectation will be more cloudy skies, but most precipitation holds off till the night, and almost anywhere it may just be a little rainfall. That's late tonight into the early morning hours of Wednesday, but then showers and thunderstorms south, snow further north, snow accumulations in that area I talked about, just north of La Crosse, off into north central Wisconsin. There could be some near 3 to 6 inch amounts of snow with stronger winds as well. In fact, there's a blizzard warning in south central Minnesota, north central Iowa, because of that being an open space and strong winds we expect tomorrow. I'll have forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
All right, buddy, let's get some detail on this forecast. Like you said, starting as soon as tonight, huh?
Yep, late tonight. Today still sounds pretty nice. Mostly cloudy, could be partly sunny here or there. Temperature's pretty nice, even pushing toward the low 50s up north, close to 60 in the south. Winds will become east today, about 5 to 15. Overnight, more clouds, some rain developing late, maybe snowflakes in the north, and temps still not too bad in the low 30s north, close to 40 up in the south. Northeast winds about 5 to 10. Tomorrow, clouds, rain, even a thunderstorm in the south, rain mixing with snow further north later in the day, anywhere from mid-40s north to mid-50s southeast. Winds 10 to 20 and gusty. And then overnight, that rain and thunderstorm activity is still in southern Wisconsin. Snow further north. A little sunshine tries to break out later Thursday. Upper 30s and low 40s, the best we'll do. Rain in the south, Pam, could be up in that half to one-inch range, and some pretty heavy snow up through central Wisconsin. So a lot to watch for.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Stu. Stu Mucker, our ag meteorologist. So rainfall reporters, get your gear ready. I guess snowfall reporters, you might as well get ready as well. It's coming.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is Shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Ceasefire over in Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says he ordered overnight airstrikes because talks were going nowhere. The BBC's Rushdie Abu Alouf.
In hospitals, doctors are saying that they have received more than 250 people injured. Some of them are in a very critical condition.
Hamas health officials claim more than 300 were killed. Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams finally on their way home after more than 9 months in space. CBS's Derek Waller.
Splashdown is scheduled to happen just off the Florida coast tonight around 6 p.m. Eastern.
President Trump and Vladimir Putin are expected to hold their phone conversation today on ending the war in Ukraine. CBS's Jennifer Jacobs reports.
On Trump's agenda, Ukrainian power plants, control of territory, the death toll of soldiers. Trump said many elements of a final agreement have been agreed to, but much remains.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Despite some well-reviewed films, it was a pretty lackluster weekend at the box office. The weekend proved to be the lowest grossing theater totals of the year so far, with prognosticators surprised that a spring break weekend at the box office came in even lower than Super Bowl weekend by about $1 million. Novocaine led the way with a little more than $8 million at the gate. The film stars Jack Quaid as a man who does not feel pain while trying to rescue his kidnapped girlfriend. Last week's champ, Mickey 17, finished in second place with $7.5 million and $33 million for the two-week total. Steven Soderbergh's new spy thriller, Black Bag, finished with $7.5 million, but on about 1,100 less screens than Mickey 17. Rounding out the top five are Captain America, Brave New World, which pulled in over $5 million, and The Day the Earth Blew Up, the first Looney Tunes movie ever made for a theatrical release, with a disappointing just over $3 million. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More troubles for the Brewers pitchers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Mariners 14-8 in spring training. Brewers starter Tobias Myers is out now with a strained oblique muscle and will likely miss the start of the season. But Pat Murphy says he thinks Abner Uribe could fill that spot. They are also very pleased with the progress Brandon Woodruff is showing coming back from shoulder surgery. NBA, the Bucks begin a five-game road trip out west tonight against the Golden State Warriors, but it will be without center Jericho Sims. He had to have surgery yesterday for a torn ligament in his right thumb. It happened Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims will be out at least a month. The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. Damian Lillard says it's tough to play team offense when opponents get physical.
It's a tough balance. In your mind, you're like, all right, I might have to dominate and try to take over this 4 or 5 minute stretch. And then you don't want to go against, you know, what the team is kind of preaching. So it's definitely a tough balance.
That's Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow. On Tuesday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is coming to Eau Claire to do a town hall in Derek Van Orden's district, since Derek Van Orden appears to be a little shy.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We are watching a storm system that will bring rain and a few thunderstorms tomorrow, and then rain will change to some snow tomorrow night into Thursday. There could be some minor accumulation and possibly some slick roads Thursday morning. Today, clouds in the morning, a little more sunshine in the afternoon with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Hi, Chef Grunder. Let's dive right into the machine shack. Fridays here mean all you care to have fried or broiled North Atlantic cod. Or try our bone-in seasoned catfish, lightly fried. More of a salmon lover? Choose between the machine shed's white wine sauce or apple bourbon glaze. Our sauteed savory shrimp will satisfy your taste buds with Old Bay seasoning and Asiago cheese. All great choices. Join us this Friday or every Friday for seafood worth savoring at the Chef.
I-94 and Highway 164, Pewaukee.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing Bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Alba Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas? What's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Today we are seeing the largest number of humanitarian emergencies since after World War II. We should be expanding our life-saving aid programs, not shutting them down during this time of crisis. I don't care where they come from. They are human beings. We weren't even having this conversation before 7 weeks ago, before Donald Trump took office, before a monster took office.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK. Here.
You know, we've been focused in a lot lately on tariffs and its potential impact on Wisconsin agriculture. I'll tell you what, it's not always tariffs that are doing the damage. We found out over the weekend that the meat processors that are allowed to ship product into China, both beef and pork, had not been recertified. Now, at first blush, you say, that's not such a big deal, but it really is. Dan Hallstrom, president of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, says pork producers got a little resolution over the weekend, but beef producers have still not found that resolution. I'll bring you the details on that as we roll our way through a Tuesday morning. Welcome back, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this National Agriculture Day. National Agriculture Day started on this day back in 1973. The Agriculture Council of America is the organization that's made up of leaders in agriculture, food, and fiber. And it's all about increasing the public awareness of agriculture's vital role in our society. They want you to understand how food and fiber products are produced. They want you to appreciate the role agriculture plays in providing safe, abundant, and affordable products. They want you to value the essential role of agriculture in maintaining a strong economy and acknowledge and consider career opportunities in the agriculture, food, and fiber industry. You can see more at agday.org. There's a lot of different ways that groups, organizations, associations are celebrating today. And like I said, find more at agday.org. Let's see, what else can I tell you about this day? March 18th, 1953, the Braves move to Milwaukee. Yep, the Braves baseball team announced that they were moving from Boston to Milwaukee on this day, 1953. We've got some happy birthdays for you. Happy birthday to actress, songstress Vanessa Williams. She actually got her fame back in 1983 when she was the first person of African-American descent to win the Miss America contest. Problem was, she had to give up the title after a scandal with Penthouse magazine. Penthouse published unauthorized nude photographs of her, forced her to give up the title of Miss America. Again, Vanessa Williams, 62 years young today. Also, happy birthday today to Queen Latifah. She is 55, and now you know. Well, we want you to know it's still a little muddy around a lot of Wisconsin, but there's plenty of folks that have livestock in barns anxious to try to get them out on pasture. But you have to be careful how quickly you move those animals out onto pasture, not just because of field conditions, but more. Stephanie Hoff dug a little deeper on that.
Springtime is busy for the equine veterinarians on staff at Iron Gate Clinic in Madison. Howard Kettover is one of them. He serves farms, hobbyists, and boarding facilities across Dane County and beyond. He says he puts a lot of miles on in the spring because horses and their owners are in a key transition period. It's that time of year to move from a less active winter season to a more physical summer routine. Dr. Kettover gives horse owners some critical advice on how to best care for your animal this spring.
There's a lot of things that we start looking at in the springtime for not only the horses changing, such as just shedding, losing their winter hair coat and losing all that hair and getting into a cooler hair coat to go through the summer is one of the things that they're going to go through. But then also, what are we doing? As you said, sort of pacing and getting back to performance or riding more and things. And just like ourselves, you know, we don't want to run out and go from 0 to 90. We'd try not to do that with our equines as well. You know, going ahead and working them back into condition, spending that time with them will certainly pay dividends in the long run through the summer, the fall, and over their total career, and trying to just get them a little more fit before we start asking more of them.
I suppose that's true from a nutrition standpoint as well.
It is. It's one of those things that we often talk about horses, and a lot of times we say, well, I've got to feed the horse. In reality, most of the time, we're actually feeding the microbes inside the horse's GI tract that are then going to be able to digest the grasses, the hays, and those other products. And we know that those microbe populations change throughout the year depending on what they're being fed. And during the wintertime, when they're on hays, stored hay in this area, the microbes tend to be more productive and more efficient, and they make a lot more volatile fatty acid or energy for the horse to then digest and utilize. And if we take that same microbe population and put it out on fresh grass, they're still going to be very efficient, and they will overproduce those volatile fatty acids or the byproducts of that, and the horse's system can't quite handle that as efficiently. So if we slowly acclimate those horses out to the green grasses and the summer grazing, it allows that microbe population to shift based on pH of the grasses and what they're taking in to become less efficient. And if they're less efficient, it's easier on the horse's GI tract, and then also subsequently some of those other conditions that can be affected, such as inflammation down in the feet or laminitis.
When is the right time to start this transition process? Because, you know, we've had some record warm days already in the first half of March, and it's getting people excited.
As we look at that, there is no right answer as far as when to get the horses out. I think it's something talking with your veterinarian and talking and looking at your situation allows you to sort of figure out what's going to work best. A lot of the times, it's going to depend on what you have for facilities. What do you have for pasture? What do you have for access to more fresh forage or that green grass? In a perfect world, they could be out on grass as the grass is coming in. So that microbe population, as the grasses start changing and coming in, the microbes start changing and change with it, and it allows to happen naturally and slowly. Most of us don't have pasture that can hold up to that kind of abuse through the spring, mud season, and everything else. They're going to tear that up and oftentimes destroy some of those pastures. So for people management, allowing us to manage our horses better, oftentimes we will go ahead and keep them off of those grasses until the grass is rich and established, and then slowly acclimate them over. And it, again, depends on the situation and what you have for management, but it's not uncommon to take 2, 3, 4 weeks to get them out from no access to full access. And some people are able to do it quicker, some are able to do it a little slower. But in the natural world, ideally, we'd have them out on grass as the grass is coming in and they do it themselves. The microbes adapt themselves and the horses adapt. Just not often common here. Practical.
Howard Cadover is a veterinarian with Iron Gate Clinic serving Dane County. He's got some great reminders for horse owners as they get their animals ready for the warmer weather. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
Don't forget, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is joining us in just a moment. If you've got a question about the markets, a specific commodity, or why something's happening, go ahead, share it with me on the Talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276, and we'll share it with John in just a moment. I don't know if you realize that everybody's so caught up talking about tariffs and their potential impact on production agriculture, but there's non-tariff tools that can be just as damaging to production agriculture. Over the weekend, the Phase 1 trade agreement of 2020 expired. Now you say, okay, what does that mean, Pam? Well, basically, that put in place a registration process for our meat processors in the United States to export directly to China. when that phase one agreement expired, there was concerns over market access because China's General Administration of Customs had not updated the facilities and cold storage locations that would be certified to send beef and pork into China. That's a big deal, according to Dan Hallstrom, president of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.
I think this whole exercise the last few weeks is a bit of a wake-up call because there's been a lot of focus in the press for months now about tariffs. And while that is a concern, there's quite a few examples where non-tariff trade barriers can be just as, if not more, impactful.
Dan Hallstrom, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Now, he said the good news is over the weekend, 360 pork facilities and cold storage units were granted their updated permits by China's General Administration of Customs. But right now, 390 beef facilities in the United States have not gotten any update or any word on their status of being recertified. So that's a big deal. We're going to maybe bring that up with John Heinberg in just a little bit. Markets and overnight electronic trade on this National Agriculture Day are holding fairly firm. Again, Dow Jones Industrial Average right now a little lower. December corn's down a half a cent at 454. November soybeans are up 2 right now at 1020. July wheat's up 3 at 588. Yesterday, as far as dairy was concerned, we saw the barrel cheese drop 6.5 cents to 162.5. 40-pound block cheese was down 4.25 at 165. Double A butter down 4, 230.5 per pound. April class 3 milk that goes into cheese up a penny at 1717 a hundredweight. John Heinberg's next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you were an Irish Catholic immigrant in the 1840s through the 1920s, many of your Protestant fellow Americans, some of whom joined the xenophobic Know Nothing Party, tried to suppress your vote. A famine in Ireland and economic instability in Germany saw millions of immigrants coming to America beginning in the 1820s. According to Smithsonian Magazine, between 1845 and 1854, 2.9 million immigrants arrived, including an estimated one quarter of Ireland's entire population. In cities like New York and Boston, the mostly Protestant American political elite saw Irish Catholics as a threat to their American culture. In 1849, the shadowy Know Nothing Party arose, a cross between a political party and a street gang, and grew to America's first sizable third party. Historian J.P. Dolan found the Know Nothings elected 8 governors, 100 congressmen, and several mayors. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "When the Know Nothings get control, it will read, 'All men are created equal, except Negroes and foreigners and Catholics.'" They proposed a 21-year wait time for foreign-born immigrants to vote, tried to ban Catholics and foreigners from holding office, even deporting 300 Irish immigrants back to Liverpool. But Irish immigrants, when they could vote, voted in higher numbers. By the 1880s, they became a political force in Boston, New York, and Chicago. I'm Brian Beal.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, 617,000 Wisconsin food insecure residents targeted by DOGE. Plus, which voting bloc will be most impacted by the trade war retaliation? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Or their toll-free number, 800-334-9779. Good morning, John. You and I were talking yesterday about a weather phenomena that many people might have noticed Saturday morning across Wisconsin. The skies were kind of dusty cloudy, overcast. I took a deep breath. I said to my husband, it smells like dirt. It was, and that's kind of one of the items that's influencing our wheat market, correct?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we had that strong storm come across the U.S. over the weekend, and we had some very aggressive winds going through some of those southern plains and causing dust storms down there, picking up some of that dust, getting into the upper atmosphere, and again, it carried all the way up here into the northern part of the United States. I was up in Green Bay looking out a window at the Rush Center for the Girls State Basketball Tournament, and you could just see the red haze in the sky, and it was just in a unique situation. As dryness concerns continue to really be a major focus of the marketplace down in that hard red winter wheat belt, the Kansas wheat belt area, as this crop is starting to work itself out of dormancy, is the moisture there. They didn't pick up much moisture from that storm, as most of the energy in terms of precipitation was to the east of that area. So that's a spot we're watching very, very closely. We saw a big jump in wheat prices yesterday, led by that hard red winter wheat group. So it's something we'll have to watch. On top of that, on the global side, we don't have a lot of wheat out there in terms of available wheat for importers to use. We're watching that Russian crop as well as the European crop. Dryness concerns are building there. So there could be a bit of a story here where wheat could kind of lead this market higher for a while. So we'll have to kind of watch that. It was a little disappointing watching the other grains really not rally with wheat yesterday, but it was good to see some money flow, at least in the wheat market for those wheat producers.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us on the Midwest Farm Report. Let's pivot a little bit and talk about another story I just brought to them, John, and that's about meat processors in the United States waiting on China for recertification to allow product to move into China. This is not relative to tariffs, but it is another tool that China may be using against our protein complex. Tell me what else you're seeing out there.
Going into that story a little bit, there's nearly 1,000 plants, beef, pork, and poultry that were part of the Phase 1 deal, got their certification back with the trade deal during the first Trump administration. Now, those were going to expire, and China's been a little reluctant in terms of reopening up those certifications. Again, maybe it's just, to me, it was just political posturing in terms of tariffs, things of that nature going on. Again, still seeing product move, even though the certification may not be there in that regard. It really didn't move the market a whole lot in terms of when the news came out on Friday, and things of that nature. Now some of these plants are getting back to their certification back online. Now we did see another strong day in the cattle market yesterday. We've got a market here that's a very unique market overall. We got a strong cash market again. We're hearing chatter of low $2 to $100 bids last week getting filled. So again, and the demand side continues to stay strong as those carcass values continue to stay high. So there is at least a little meat on the bone for the packer to put those bids out there. One thing we do need to watch, though, we did have a small plant. Now it was mostly a cull cow plant in South Dakota. Closed its doors yesterday because financially it just isn't going to work in the longer run for some of these packers with these types of cash values versus, even though the retail boxes are high that they get paid back on, it's just the profit margins aren't there. And that might be something that this industry could see as some consolidation in the packing industry. That could be one of those signals that maybe prices have been too high too long here in the cattle market and could signal a bit of a top.
Do we see that in any other protein complex? Our pork processors, our poultry, are their margins healthier than beef?
The pork side of it has still been fairly good. Again, we're seeing carcass values up around that $100 carcass area, and of which then, the packer breaks that down into different cuts, and that's what gets to the grocery store. So there's some decent value there. The hog market hasn't been pushing out to historic highs. So we're not really hearing that in the other industries so much because the cattle industry is, one of those industries still has a lot of regional packers or small packers that just cover an area as compared to where the pork industry has maybe gotten to the more national scale, with companies like Tyson as well as Smithfield Foods, things of that nature. So unfortunately, it could be a way this industry, in terms of the cattle industry, restructures itself maybe to move to a more of a linear program like the pork industry or the poultry industry is, because again, just some of those smaller regional packers are some of the difference and some of the competition for price that's out there.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend here on the Midwest Farm Report. I've got about a minute left, John. What else are you keeping an eye on as we roll into a Tuesday session?
Well, we got a couple of weeks here now in the corn and soybean market. It's going to be really starting to think about the prospective plantings report and the grain stocks report here at the end of the month. So that's going to be probably the focus, I would think, going forward here. You know, where are we going to get those corn acres? How many acres are we going to get? The market's pretty content that we're going to plant a large amount of corn acres next year compared to where we were last year. So that's something that may keep a little bit of a lid on prices here. And this market's just looking for some possible clarity in that report can set us up for the next handful of months as we get into spring planning.
All right, my friend, save your voice. We will catch up with you next week. Thanks, John. John Heinberg joining us live this morning on the Midwest Farm Report. He is one of the team members, TotalFarmMarketing.com, their website, or call him 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779. You know, John, talking about what's going on with the beef industry tomorrow, we are going to be talking with folks from the beef industry, the Wisconsin Beef Council, going to catch us up on what they're doing with some new nutrition information related to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Hope you'll join us for that conversation.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Some personal reflections on the farming life. Today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Something as simple as emptying a grain bin can lead to tragedy. Grain headed toward an auger is like quicksand, and farmers who've been pulled under have suffocated. If you absolutely have to be in the bin, make sure you're wearing a safety harness tethered to keep you above the surface. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. On this National Ag Day, a look back on my own personal association with agriculture. I was born into a farming family. My great-grandfather farmed in Norway before moving to the U.S. in 1890. I don't know how many generations of the family were farmers before that. In the 1940s, my grandfather started raising a few turkeys on our Minnesota farm. After my dad finished the eighth grade, he went to work full-time on the farm. The turkeys grew to become the main enterprise. When I was little, we had probably 300 acres of cropland, the turkeys, a few hogs, and some Hereford beef. I did chores as soon as I was old enough. There was plenty of work to go around. I graduated from high school in 1975, yep, 50 years ago, and went off to college that fall. Still did farm work on weekends and summers for a couple of years, then got married, and my hands-on farming work was over. After college, I worked in local radio stations before starting a syndicated farm radio show in 1996. That was how I circled back to the agriculture arena. And I look forward to marking 30 years of farm broadcasting at the end of 2025. Thanks for joining me on the ride. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by Mini Timuraju, the CEO of Reproductive Freedom for All. We talk about the importance of the Supreme Court race that's heating up. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C., and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. New airstrikes across Gaza. Israel's surprise bombardment hit targets across the Strip, threatening to reignite the 17-month-old war. Reporter Linda Gradstein is in Jerusalem.
The U.S. gave backing to the Israeli airstrike, saying Hamas had chosen the path of war over releasing the remaining 59 hostages living and dead it is still holding. Hamas said the Israeli airstrikes threaten the lives of the remaining hostages. Israel launched the airstrikes throughout Gaza, ending the 2-month ceasefire between Israel and Hamas.
Hamas health officials claim at least 300 Palestinians were killed. President Trump and Russia's Vladimir Putin are expected to speak by phone later this morning on winding down the war in Ukraine as the U.S. looks for Moscow's support for a 30-day ceasefire proposal. Stanford University, Stephen Pfeiffer.
My expectations are fairly pessimistic because the messages coming out of